My name is Katie Cathell. I am the deacon for the month of September. Today's reading comes from Psalm chapter 119, verses 105 through 112. It can be found on page 557 of your pew Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe your righteous ordinances. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. May God give us understanding of this, his holy word.
Last Sunday, Pope Francis issued a compelling and yet controversial proposal. The Pope issued an appeal to all Roman Catholic parishes and communities and monasteries in Europe to take in refugees from Syria. He was responding to the humanitarian crisis in Europe that has been growing by the day. Since civil war began in Syria in 2011, more than 4 million Syrians have fled their homeland. More than 400,000 fled to Iraq and Egypt and North Africa. More than 600,000 are living in refugee camps in Jordan. Over 1 million Syrian refugees are in Lebanon, Little Lebanon. Almost 2 million have gone to Turkey, and now many Syrian refugees are pouring into Europe, and European leaders are struggling with what to do with them. Last month, 71 migrants suffocated in the back of a cargo truck that was found on a roadside in Austria. 5 suspected smugglers were arrested, but they are only a tiny part of a vast network of human traffickers that are preying on desperate people. So far this year, at least 2,700 migrants have perished at sea trying to cross the Mediterranean in small boats. Germany says that they are willing to receive hundreds of thousands of these Syrian refugees, but they have to travel through Hungary and Serbia and Slovakia and other European countries to get there. The government of Hungary is none too pleased to have so many refugees flooding into the country. Government leaders in Hungary have said that they don't want these refugees in their country. And some Catholic leaders in Hungary are siding with the government over the Pope. The Catholic bishop of southern Hungary said, "They're not refugees. This is an invasion." The bishop argued that the Pope doesn't know the situation. In other words, the Pope doesn't understand what we're going through. The anti-Muslim sentiment is not limited to Hungary. Slovakia has said that it will grant asylum only to Christians. A spokesman for Slovakia's interior ministry told the BBC, "We don't have any mosques in Slovakia, so how can Muslims be integrated if they're not going to like it here?" Well, what gave Pope Francis the idea that churches should welcome such refugees? Apparently, he got it from the Bible. Francis said, "Facing the tragedy of tens of thousands of refugees fleeing death by war and famine, the gospel calls, asking of us to be close to the smallest and the forsaken." Well, how does the Pope know what the gospel calls us to do? Maybe he remembers another verse from the Bible, from the lips of Jesus, who said, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." We have that same verse inscribed on a plaque over the door to this sanctuary. Get out in the foyer and look up, you'll see it. Like all Christians, the Pope looks to the Bible for guidance and direction. Of course, God communicates with us in many ways. Occasionally, not often, but every once in a while, God will speak directly. Now, I have never heard God speak to me directly, and you would question my sanity if I said I had. But there were times when God spoke in an audible voice. When Jesus was baptized, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." When Paul, then known as Saul, was on the road to Damascus intending to arrest Christians, there was a light from heaven and a voice which said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" There are a few other instances in the Bible when God spoke in an audible way, but those are the exception, not the rule. Sometimes God speaks in dreams. When King Herod intended to kill all the infants in Bethlehem, including the infant Jesus, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him to flee to Egypt with Mary and the baby. Now, I sometimes get ideas for sermons in my dreams. However, most of my dreams are nonsense, and so I've got to be careful about what I use. God often communicates through people. The Bible is filled with accounts of prophets and teachers and preachers and disciples and evangelists who spoke a message from God. On the day of Pentecost, all the followers of Jesus were together in one place, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Peter said it was fulfillment of prophecy. "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh," Joel said, "and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." It still happens today. God uses ordinary women and men to convey his message. Sometimes I might say something in a sermon that strikes a chord in those who hear. It's not my doing. I don't know what's going on in your particular life, but God can use the words of a sermon to communicate his message. Sometimes God speaks to us through the circumstances of our lives. After a close call, after a medical emergency, after an averted disaster, we might see such a circumstance as a wake-up call from God. Some years ago, after I had gallbladder surgery and there were some complications, I didn't get out of the hospital as soon as I thought I would. When I did begin to feel better, I began to take a look at my health and my well-being, and I no longer took that for granted. I decided that I needed to make some changes in my lifestyle. I started eating less red meat and eating more fish. I cut back on fried foods. I tried to take better care of myself. Spending time in the hospital was like a wake-up call, a message from God to not take for granted the gift of physical well-being that I've been given. And so there are many ways that God communicates with us, but the primary way that God speaks is through the words of Scripture. In our scripture for this morning, from Psalm 119, the psalmist said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And then if you read the psalm further, notice all the synonyms that the psalmist used to describe God's word: ordinances, law, precepts, decrees, statutes. All those terms convey a message that is stated in verbal form, that is written down. The words of the Bible were written down so that we might know and follow God's will for our lives. This morning we began a new Sunday school year with the commissioning of Sunday school teachers. And the purpose of Sunday school is to read and to study the Bible so that we might learn and follow God's message for our lives. Now, this is especially important in the Baptist church because in the Baptist church, we don't have anybody to tell us what we have to believe. We don't have any official doctrine or dogma or church leader to instruct us in what to believe. We don't have a pope or a creed or a catechism as our authority. Our authority is the Bible. And if we're going to follow the Bible, then we need to read it and study it in order to discern and understand God's message for our lives. Now, to be honest about it, reading and studying the Bible is not easy. It's not easy. What is easy is to misconstrue the Bible with a cursory reading or a superficial misunderstanding. The Bible is a complex document written over 1,000 years by many different authors and many different cultural contexts. And while it has a unified message, it's complicated. In order to understand its meaning, we need to study it. And I think it's best to study it alongside other believers, either in written form, in the form of commentaries, or in a physical setting where we can sit down with other believers, read the Bible, discuss it, study it together, seek to understand it together. Of course, we're not always going to interpret the Bible in the same way. We Baptists disagree with our friends in other denominations on a number of issues, such as the baptism of infants, qualifications for pastors, the role of women, and many other matters of church polity. And even Baptists don't always agree with one another because we're free to read and interpret the Bible for ourselves. And I think that's the point. We do read and interpret the Bible for ourselves. But that's where Sunday school comes in. Sunday school is an opportunity for us to read and study the Bible with other believers so that we can better understand it and better follow it. And if we read and study the Bible with an open mind and with an open heart, God will lead us in the ways that He wants us to live. Apparently, that's what the Pope did regarding those thousands of refugees pouring into Europe every day. He read and he studied the Bible, and he concluded that Christians should welcome the strangers who are coming into their midst. Of course, we're not in Europe, but we have our own immigration crisis in this country. The United States has many refugees coming to our country, some documented, some undocumented. You might be surprised to know that the United States welcomes more refugees than any other country in the world. In fact, our country over the last 3 years has taken in over 70,000 refugees per year, and that's more than every other country in the world combined. And yet, welcoming refugees is not without complications, and frankly, it's not without controversy. And frankly, many of the presidential candidates are making it a campaign issue in various strident ways. Right now, there are an estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants living in our country. Well, what does the Bible say about our attitude toward them? We read and we study the Bible because we need to hear and discern God's message for our lives. And isn't it amazing that God, the creator of the universe, wants to speak to us? Isn't it amazing that God, who created everything, has a message intended for us that he wants us to hear and to understand and to follow? But God didn't just stop with the Bible. In the fullness of time, God's message became a living word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a father's only son. Jesus is God's ultimate message to us. And if you want to know what the Bible says, look at Jesus. If you want to understand what the Bible really means, look at Jesus. If you want to interpret the Bible correctly, look at Jesus. Jesus is the criterion by which we interpret all of Scripture. The more we look at Jesus, the more we see God's message for our lives. Eva Varga is a 63-year-old Hungarian physician who is providing volunteer help to many of those refugees who are streaming into her country. Eva said, "For me, there are no Christian patients. There are no non-Christian patients. There are only my patients, and I'm obliged to take care of them." What gave Eva the idea that she was obliged to take care of those people coming into her country? Apparently, she got the idea from the Bible. Because you see, Eva Varga is a Baptist. She has been providing medical help through an organization called Hungarian Baptist Aid, a partner of the Baptist World Alliance. Eva, like Pope Francis, understands the gospel calls us to be close to the smallest and the forsaken. The least of these, as Jesus called them. He said, "What we do for the least of these, we do for him." How do we know that? We know it because the Bible tells us. It's not so much a message of obligation as it is a message of hope and love and grace. God loves us so that we might love each other. God sent Jesus so that we might share his love with a lost and hurting world. The written word, the Bible, points us to the living word, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus loves us. This we know, for the Bible tells us so. Our Father, we live in a troubled world where so many people are hurting, when there's so much confusion and things are not easy to understand. But we have a source of understanding that can guide us as we seek to live in this troubled world. We have your word, your precepts, your law, your statutes, your decrees. We have your written word, which points us to your living word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would guide us to see the way, the message that you have for us, and then to act upon that message as we seek to become the presence of Christ in this troubled and hurting world. Thank you, O God, for loving us so much that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only Son. And thank you for the Bible, which tells us so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn that probably all of you at least know the first verse by heart. Maybe you know the rest of it too. And it may be there's someone here today who'd want to profess your faith in Jesus and become a Christian by being baptized as a follower of Jesus. If you've not made that commitment before, we invite you to make it today. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're not a part of this church family. You'd want to unite with us as we seek to serve God in this place. The invitation is to come to the front and we stand together and sing hymn number 603, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know."